Earl Monroe has written his memoirs. It's called Earl the Pearl, My Story. It's in bookstores now. You can go up on Amazon.com and order it as well. Terrific picture on the front cover with Earl handling the ball in a Knicks uniform being pursued by Jerry West of the Lakers. Earl, as you look back, was being traded by Baltimore a good thing for your career?
Well, I think it probably elongated my career to a degree. I kid people and tell them, I don't know if I would have come to New York if I knew ESPN and was going to be around showing a lot of this stuff. But I think it was a good move. One of the things that I noticed about myself is that, you know, being from Philadelphia, we prided ourselves in understanding and knowing the game. And even though I had achieved a measure of success in college and early on in my pro career, still in all, when I got to New York, I was still in a learning process. And I became more of a student of the game. And I think that carried on because there were times where I couldn't run, but being able to know the game itself, I could camouflage all that and still play basketball, whereas no one would know anything was wrong with me. So I think it was a good move. As I said, I've always been a scorer. You know, in college, my senior year averaging over 41 points a game, coming into the league and being the fourth scorer that my rookie year. And here's a funny story, and you can appreciate it. The last game of the season, we're playing Philadelphia. And I have to get a certain amount of points to get to 2,000, and I just miss it. But Wilt Chamberlain takes a shot, a fall-away shot that somehow hit the top of the backboard, rolled along, and fell in. After the game, that meant that he scored one more point than I did. And his comment was, "You know, I couldn't let a rookie outscore me." So, Dip.
What kind of a teammate was Bill Bradley?
A very, very caring teammate. A guy that we knew, had other aspirations other than basketball, but was still a hell of a basketball player. And I think that, his presence was also, it was kind of revered, because of not only how he conducted himself and the things that he was doing and saying and whatnot, but just because he was Bill and he was still one of the guys. I allude in the book, there was a series that was on good man, bad man, or rich man, poor man. Yeah. And, where this family and his son was going to trying to be president. We always alluded to Bill as that person. And we had a lot of respect for Bill. And he earned that respect by being the type of person that he was.
Tell me about Willis Reed.
Well, the captain, as we call him, never wanted to come out of a game. If we were up 99-2, Willis wanted to play, and he was like that even when he was hurt. And, I think one of the great things that happened in basketball is when he hobbled out for the seventh game of the 69-70 series. And that's something that will live in infamy because it gave a measure to his professionalism, to his heart, and his commitment to his team and city. And I think that, that spilled over to other things that he's done, but he'll always remember for that. And he was a great teammate, always caring about. And it's interesting because whenever we are together, he's always giving directions to everybody. And when he does that, everybody looks at each other and they say, "Oh, it's Willis."
And one other former Nick, Earl, and that's the late Dave DeBuscher.
Well, Dave was a sweetheart of a guy. I remember having been on the Baltimore Bullets and as well as the Knicks, and remembering first of all how Gus Johnson admired Dave, and it was, you know, such a competitor against Dave. And it was because Dave was such a competitor against him. And then going to the Knicks and seeing how much Dave admired Gus. And it was a mutual admiration society. But when they got on the court, it was war. And Dave was, you know, he represented so many facets of New York, but those working class people of New York that go out every day, no matter what it is, and, you know, if they're sick or whatever, they're going out and do their job. And Dave was that kind of a guy.
Earl, do you still follow the NBA closely? Do you root for the Knicks to this day?
Well, yes, I do some, you know, some of the games, some of the in studio things with the Knicks, so I have to, you know, keep abreast of some of the things that are happening.
Tell me about basketball in the inner city of Philadelphia. You've made reference to Philly a few times. Describe Philadelphia as a basketball city, Earl.
Well, Philadelphia, you know, is a basketball city of learned athletes. As I like to say, we pass down things from generation to generation, and we call the older guys, you know, that pass that information down. We call them 40 years because it means that, you know, they've been around a long time. And there'll be times when you play against an older guy and you might do, you know, work, as they say, against him. You know, then after the game, he'll come up to you and tell you what you should have done or what you could have done and things like that. So it's always been a pass down situation in Philadelphia. Plus, we always, you know, we always alluded to being able to think the game through. You know, it wasn't just run and gun up and down. It was like, you know, steady tempo and so forth like that. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, where we were at. You know, as opposed to New York, where guys were, you know, drivers. We were jump shooters. And, you know, the drivers, they wanted to dunk the ball and be very ferocious. We had a finesse game about us. And that's really indicative of Philly in general, you know, because we were smooth, we were cool, and finesseful.
Earl, I've often wondered, coming out of high school, were there opportunities for you to play in the Big Five in Philadelphia? Did you think about staying in Philly, or were there just no opportunities for you in one of the colleges?
Well, when I came out, I wanted to play in what they call the old ABL. Philadelphia had a team, and I decided I was going to play for the ABL team, so I wasn't going to college. And, of course, that fall, that team folded. The whole league folded, as a matter of fact. So that left me kind of out there. So I enrolled at Temple Prep, and at Temple Prep we played against all the freshman teams of the Big Five schools in Philadelphia. And, you know, as we played the whole season, you know, one of the things that I realized is I was better than most of those guys, and I just dropped out. And a guy came to me, a guy by the name of Leon Whitney, came to me and asked me if I wanted to go to Winston-Salem. And this was like in February, March, and I said, no, I don't know when Winston-Salem is, and I'm not really interested right now. But I still had no prospects. And I thought maybe I would go to Temple because my sister was a nurse, and she had taken care of Harry Lipwack's wife. When she was in hospital, and she had told him about me and whatnot, but that didn't pan out. So eventually, I went to work at a knitting mill down on 3rd Street. And after three or four months working in the knit mill, Leon came back to me and asked me if I wanted to go. And I said, when? And I said, I will go if my man could go with me, which is another guy who went through junior high school, and college with me. So he said, let me give you a call back, and I did. And he called and said, you know, I think I could work that out. But interestingly enough, I might add, is that it wasn't that we were going down on a scholarship. You know, we were going down to try out for the team. Because in those days, guys who played at those historically black institutions, you know, when they went home, they were the scouts. And if they saw somebody that they thought could play, they would call Coach Gaines and try and get them in school. So we didn't see Coach Gaines or talk to him until we got down to Winston-Salem. And we essentially had to play our way and see if, in fact, he liked us.
Well, obviously he liked you, Earl. And and that launched a remarkable career. One final question here in the closing 30 seconds. What response are you getting on your book here initially?
Well, you know, it just was released yesterday.
Really?
And yeah, and we've been getting a pretty good response. I went to a book signing last evening, and before getting in, I had to sign close to 100 books that were already pre-ordered, and the place was packed. So I was there for a couple hours signing, you know, books and things like that. And it's almost like when you're giving a party, and it's like 9 o'clock, and you're waiting around for all the people to come, and the people are late. Well, you don't know if you're going to have a successful party. That's how it's been as far as this book is concerned. I don't know, you know, but last night I was confirmed that it will be a good party.
Earl Monroe, our guest. We're back next week at the same time. Inside the Game, I'm Pat Williams. It's WORL AM 660 in Orlando. Have a great week ahead.